George Capanelli here. Welcome to another great edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations also come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with, as always, great music.
Our topic, what if? We're going to look at some of the basic assumptions we may be holding about our lives, about the source of real meaning and purpose, and about the things we believe we can and cannot do to lead the lives we were born to live. Today, you'll get the terrific opportunity to hear the second part of a great conversation Alan had with author and wise man Thomas More, whose book, A Religion of One's Own, also asks you some very important questions.
And as always, we have those wonderful music interludes today. Van Morrison, Brand New Day. Billy Joel, River of Dreams. Phil Collins, True Colors. Our special features, George and I, will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. Yeah? And,
yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay, all right. And I've got another You've Got to Be Kidding segment, Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategy, and I have a Rudy rap on Take Your Time, a mantra of importance.
Hey, so welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
When all the dark clouds roll away, young sun begins to shine. I see my freedom from across the way, and it comes right in on time. When the chance so bright.
Van Morrison, I just love that guy. She's made my life work, in part.
He's remarkable. Okay. Why sometimes I've believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast. This quote from Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll leads us directly into our topic. What if? The more aware we become of how we are dealing with, or perhaps we should say not dealing with, many challenges in our world today, particularly many of the challenges and the opportunities associated with the graying of our population, the more we find ourselves inclined to play a game called what if. It's a game like the game of belief Lewis Carroll has the Queen share with Alice that we've found over and over again to be very helpful. Here's an example of how it goes. What if the only way we or any of us can prepare for the brave new world that lies ahead, a world in which 50% of our population and the population of every industrialized country in the world will be 50 years of age or over? What if the only way is to identify what each of us can be fully responsible for in our own lives?
Of course, this is not an easy question to answer, but since it's clear to us that we will find, we won't find answers out there in all what's going on in the noise and double talk advanced by so many of our leaders, nor will we find answers in the chilling silence that surrounds this topic and other critical topics in our institutional and business communities, and certainly now in the media and the general public, the dialogue, we know we have to go away from that to the one place where we can find answers. And yes, we have to ask ourselves and be willing to listen Where is that? Within. Within to the inner voice, that still voice we've spoken about before, we'll speak it about again. And here's the kicker, as they say, we have to have the courage to act on the suggestions we get inside.
And we want you to know that you do not have to wait for some special occasion to play this version of the What If game. You can do it lying in bed before you get up in the morning, while taking a shower, over breakfast, during morning exercises, driving to work, or whenever you care to. All you have to do is turn within and toward that small inner voice of wisdom and guidance and start asking a series of what if questions. What if you really have a destiny, a specific reason and purpose for being alive? What if your life is a gift? Each moment is a choice point, an opportunity to learn, to wake up to new levels of meaning and purpose, loving and consciousness, or to keep on doing the same habitual and less than effective things. What if the real purpose of your life is not to follow someone else's game plan or seek the approval of others, but to listen to your own tune and share the fruits of what you learn with others?
All great what ifs, like... Making a difference is not just some childish wish you and others you know have to outgrow or give up in order to be acceptable and successful in the real world. What if your dream is not only real, but is your responsibility, something in fact you were born to do, and that you can do it and live it no matter how long it takes or how long it's been since you last paid attention to it? And I'm just going to add, many wise people have said we're in the dream state here. So go to the reality. That's the voice we're talking about.
What if life isn't about how much you make, what you own, what other people think of you, but about how you show up inside yourself and in the world through your thoughts, your words, and your actions every day?
See what we mean about these what if questions? The longer we allow ourselves to play this game of what if, the more questions come up. What if I don't have to live in fear? There is the biggest one. I mean, it's all about choices of love or fear. What if I don't have to live in separation from others or divided within myself by my mind perceptions? What if I'm not alive to do someone else's bidding, but to follow my own soul's call?
What if life, my life, is best lived when I'm curious, fascinated, and passionate? What if I'm not here to become someone, but simply to express who I already am?
Boy, what a key right there, George. Thanks for that. You know, that's the who am I question. Uh-huh. You see, the more we play this what if game, we understand that life is a game. It really is. The more we realize that it doesn't matter if these questions are easy or difficult to answer. No, what matters is that they are our questions. And ultimately, we need to find our own answers, and that's within. And to arrive at the end of our lives and know that we have run the course and done the best, at least some of what we were born to do.
And the older we get, the more aware we become that it would be a crime to come to those final moments of our lives and to admit that we have not asked often enough, that we have not listened carefully enough, and that we did not have enough courage to follow the answers and contribute our notes to this remarkable, wondrous, mysterious, and extraordinary song that is our lives. What about you? Do you ever find yourself wondering, what if? Do you ever wonder what your answers to these critical questions will be when you get to the end of your road? Do you ever wonder what your life will be like if you do not go quietly?
Make me feel like me. Yet it lights my life with love. Yet it seems like. Yet it feels like. And it seems like, and it feels like a brand new day, a brand new day, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was lost, double-crossed. With my hands behind my back, I was long time hurt.
Come back to the revolution, Age Nation Radio.
Thomas Moore on our studio line. He's our featured guest. today. We are celebrating A Religion of One's Own, the title of his just-released paperback book, a guide to creating a personal spirituality in a secular world. We're going to talk about different aspects of that. I liked what you just said about soulmates. I know you've been in a long-term relationship, if I remember correctly, no?
Yes, my wife and I have been married, well, I guess this is our 21st year, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, that's Aunt Elizabeth and I is just over 20, so I think it's important that we have these relationships to mirror to us from the depth of a level where trust and where we know each other, that if one person gets off track somewhere, gets a little caught up in the ego persona aspects as opposed to the divinity, that somebody can give you some assistance or direction, even though it is an individual journey. Your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, we have our individual journey, certainly, but part of that is that we may be drawn to somebody else. I mean, most of us are, most of us do find somebody else to share our lives with. And so that puts you together in a way that's very deep. While we're on the individual journey, if each individual person is following instead of constructing their lives, in other words, trying to look for what the purpose of their life is and what life wants of them, responding instead of making it up as you go, then that takes you quite deep. And I think then you create something between you that is the third thing, besides the two individual lives that are on their own, in their own a route, in their own direction. And yes, that can be talked about. That can be, if it's in trouble, you can speak to that and you can get some help for it. And what I find, though, when I, as a therapist, find two people having trouble in their relationship, one of the things I do, I talk to one of the parties and let the other one sit in the corner and listen. Because I don't think that we tend to listen enough to the issues that each of us has to deal with individually. And that listening can bring people closer together. In other words, there's a paradox. The more you can follow through on your own mysterious path and do that with somebody else supporting you, but letting you be an individual, the closer you will be. It's a funny thing that the more you try to force the closeness, the less you have of it.
Very, very well said. Very well said. Well, let me, I did mark off some readings today, okay, and I want to go to one here. Early on in the book, there's a section that is a question, where is God in all of this? It goes on to say, isn't religion based on belief in God? God is everywhere in it, but not in the usual ways. I understand that human beings need tangible, sometimes personal images for their more ethereal ideas and beliefs. Most people would deny that their God is an old man with a beard sitting in the clouds, but the theologians and mystics make every effort to describe God in the purest terms possible. They don't want the object of their devotion to be an idol, a too limited notion of this infinite. Toward the opening of the Tao Te Ching, you'll find this stark and challenging line: the Tao that can be expressed is not the everlasting Tao. And Jewish writings, for their part, intentionally avoid the word God, using instead Yahweh or I Am, who I am. I'm going to end it right there because we talked a little bit about God. God is central to religion, but, you know, what is God? And the Tao says it can't be spoken, so I don't know. Maybe you would give us God as according to Thomas.
When I use the word God, I use the word to open my mind. It's like, to me, it's a window word. It's like you open a window and you look out into a vast space. It allows you to experience something of the infinite. Whereas I think a lot of people use the word God to close the window so that they're within a close sphere, and they think they know what they're talking about and defend their understanding. And usually it's too narrow. So I want to have it wide open. And the result is that I use the name God very sparsely. I rarely use it, in fact, because it can be so narrowing. But at the same time, I think you can use language to open that window again, and that's what I do in my books. That's what I mean when I say that God is all the way throughout my books. I try to evoke that sense of the divine, but I don't name it because I find that too limiting.
I like that. I like that. That's why I think you brought the Tao line in there. No, that it speaks to what can't be really spoken or written, you know?
Yes, the Tao, the Jing says, the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. Well, you could say that the God we speak of is not the God we're trying to evoke.
What? Is there any way to speak to it from, like, because we're talking about a personal journey of our soul here to make that connection? Maybe this is a good time to even bring in, St. John of the Cross, imprisoned, and one of your book titles, really, and it has been covered by other people, Dark Nights of the Soul. I've had a few of those during this last year. I won't get into personal things, but challenges. And there's no connection. And at other times, we feel our heart full, our body resonating. Call it the Holy Spirit, or a religious trinity, Father, Son. What's the Holy Ghost in that? Is that energetics? Is that the Spirit? So talk about when one knows that they're feeling, emotionally feeling, sensory feeling, and beyond that, that they're connected.
Yes, there are moments when we sense, at least I should speak for myself, I feel, let's say in nature, I feel almost a pulse within the natural thing, like even a boulder, a big boulder, or as I said before, a tree or a body of water. I feel that what's present there is more than what can be seen by science and the scientific mind. There's a presence to it, and that directs me then deeper and deeper into the sense of what I'm encountering, and how there's something deeper in me too that is brought to life when I encounter something of that sort. It wakes me up. It wakes up something in me that is very profound and very important, maybe the most important thing of all. Paul Tillich calls it the ultimate concern, that's where you approach God.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it. So, and also about the Holy Spirit, you can use that language too. I tend to avoid that, the usual theological language for these things. I try to find fresh language for it. But one of the things I found in translating the Gospels was that very often the phrase used is not the Holy Spirit, but a Holy Spirit. And that helps me, because I feel better about that. A Holy Spirit has come around. I sense it. I can feel a Holy Spirit in this place. And that then awakens that desire in me to relate to the world in its holiness rather than as a secular thing. And that's where my religion is.
Okay. I'll go to the book again and do a little reading here. Religion of One's Own, A Guide to Creating a Personal Spirituality in a Secular World. You say this, Thomas: the world is changing so fast that some days I feel dizzy from it. I'm a youthful spirit living in an aging body, trying to keep up with the changes around me. In one way or another, religion has always been a big part of my life, and that, too, is changing in ways I couldn't have predicted 10 years ago. The question is, and there's actually three parts to it, I think: should I try to live without it? Should I resist change and keep my religion traditional? Or should I rethink what religion is all about? So let me just throw that to you, and let me take a break here, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
So, George and Alan back. Another wonderful, wonderful segment. Thomas is just an extraordinary being. I'm blessed to know him. I know you are as well. And he always speaks with a rhythm that is part of the essence of what he says, you know. And I thought one of the things early on in that segment when you were talking about, you know, the relationship of two and it becoming a third thing and all the rest of it, that comment that he made about the way he sometimes does therapy where he both people will be present, but he'll speak to only one and allow the other to listen. And I do know in my own relationship and every other relationship that I've ever had, whether it's personal or friendship or love relationships or business or whatnot, that the power to listen and the willingness to hear is always a key, you know, to the resolution of differences and gaps.
Of course, we have that in Congress right now.
Oh, yes, everybody's listening.
Sure. Good practice. No, you know, you said what he said. It's amazing. I was thinking of, you know, as you know, your relationship with Sedina and mine with Elizabeth over a long period of time. We've used the term soulmates, you know, and of course Thomas has used soul in so many of his books, that we are soul mirrors for each other and that we need to listen to each other, particularly that if you are either, you know, a wife, a husband, a mate, a marriage, or a friend, that love needs to be first. And you need to listen in love and end the separation of perceptions of the mind. Secondly is the truth. And as you know, I've said love and truth are two sides of a coin. They're interdependent. You can't have one without the other. And the third thing I just might add is that, you know, you develop a trust to support finding God, as he talked about, the great mystery, divinity, all the words for something that can't be spoken. And this is something that too few people have practiced. Two people coming together and having a dialogue and listening and then going to a deeper divinity to get answers.
And sometimes it's hard to hear what you don't want to hear. So, you know, listening is a challenge. What I loved, what he did right in the middle of that interview was he did a course correction where he started to say something about a generic belief. And then he said, wait a second, let me speak for myself.
Yeah, you know? I like that. And if I can pick up on that, because, you know, we referred him to the Tao where it, you know, the Tao that can be expressed is not the true Tao. And because I want to tie it into our theme, what if you were an active piece of that all that is great mystery? That's the inner voice that we talked about listening to.
Yep.
And you'll find out a lot if you listen to that voice of the great mystery.
Indeed. Let's listen to a little of Billy Joel's Great Mystery here.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, you know, this segment. We look at absurd items in the news, although today we're gonna go a little bit deeper and talk about our what-if game, you know. What if life in these times was more about building greater understanding, which is what Thomas was talking about, between people, rather than in creating greater divides? Imagine, Alan, what would our world be like, do you think, if it was more about building understanding than in creating differences?
Yeah, well, you know, the what-if game, I like that you're referring to it. There is something deeper than our perceived separations. And we need to discover that. What is the commonality? What can we move forward in an understanding? Some of it's simple. Hey, we're human beings. We all need oxygen. We screw up the air, everybody suffers, right? Everybody has red blood, unless you're very sick. You know, skin color doesn't matter. We need to go deeper to question this. What if I understood that we're all in a common field, all human beings, and we need to cooperate? That's one. What if in these times that we need to understand coming together instead of creating divides, and that goes to education. I mean, you can speak to this, George. You know, our education system needs to be free. It is in Europe. It is in other countries. I'm talking about right through graduate school. And I think we see control and limitation in our education system based on what? Money. Money gets the higher education these days. And it needs to be made available to everybody.
Yeah, and you're right. In so many other countries, and most Americans don't realize that in Germany, for an example, the last little town or whatnot just finally gave in. And education is free throughout Germany, in so many countries in the world. And it's one of the reasons they're beating our pants off, because we're not making it this kind of foolish competitive stuff, yeah. You know?
Well, you know me. Every once in a while I throw in the C word, a conspiracy, you know? I think it's a control element. Even our education systems, there's a lot of brainwashing and programming in it, and we need to change that. And I think the way you do it is let more people make choices in the education system.
So what if natural resources like food and water could not be controlled for the profit of either an individual or of the few? What would our world be like if we realized that the natural resources of this planet aren't for sale?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like education. And none of this should be privatized. You know? Uh-huh. I like that. And let me ask another what if. What if the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness sounds familiar? Good document somewhere in our history were actually honored as our inalienable rights for everyone.
You know, it's one of the things that makes the American dream so extraordinary. It's what makes this whole question of what this experiment in democracy is really about and why it's an evolution in the consciousness of governance, you know?
Yeah.
Last one for this particular cycle. What if our leaders in every segment, the corporate segment, the government segment, the nonprofit segment, the religious segment, wherever we go, what if our leaders really were the servants of those that they lead?
A great question, and I think a lot of people are working on that one. And money shouldn't lead, service should. And I hate to use the should word because, you know, you hear don't should on it, but I'm shooting on it. And this is another answer that we need everybody to help come up with.
Yeah. If leaders serve those that lead rather than thinking they are superior, that they're worth $500 million a year or whatever the heck it happens to be, our world would be so different. Ask yourself some of these what if questions, will you?
Yeah. And go inside for the answer.
Yeah.
Don't go to the leaders for the answer. Go inside for the answer. You want some more Joel?
Yeah, let's listen to a little more Billy Joel.
I walk down every evening and stand on the shore. I try to cross to the opposite side so I can finally find what I've been looking for. In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep. Through the valley of fear, to a river so deep. I've been searching for something. In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep, through the jungle of doubt, to the river so deep. I know I'm searching for something, something so undefined, that it can only be seen by the eyes of the blind. In the middle of the night.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
George and Alan back for segment four. Here's another wondrous Enlivened Aging segment.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging Strategy is Morning Colors the Day. Did you know that the Pueblo and Navajo people consider it a blessing to see the color turquoise at first thing in the morning? According to E. Barry Cavish, an energy healer, author, and Native American descendant, mornings are a time to be in close touch with nature. Cavish says that turquoise is considered a sky stone, reminding us of when the sky is at its brightest and sunniest. So to see it upon first opening your eyes is a blessing for the hours that follow. Try setting the stage for a good morning by keeping a turquoise stone, necklace, bracelet, or even a colored picture by your bedside or in your window so you can see it first thing in the morning. The tired human body can gain enlivening benefits from nature, and connecting with nature at the beginning of the day can uplift our mood and be a boost for our attitude the entire day. A walk in nature can help us drop doubts and insufficiencies and fears that come up about aging, and connect us solidly to our true essence as one with all of nature. If you can't get outside, you can bring fresh air in by opening a window, pulling open the blinds, and letting the light, the smells, and sounds of the new day in. Find even a few minutes to enjoy something simple about your morning, and it can set the tone for the day that follows. Another wonderful way to color your day brightly is by starting the day in silence. You can tune into your wisdom and your heart through meditation, contemplation, and prayer, or by simply breathing in the beauty of the morning and perhaps reading something inspirational. Meditation is a spiritual exercise that develops attitudinal muscles and makes them strong. Flabby spiritual muscles are things like cynicism, negativity, victim consciousness, anger, judgment, and fear. And just as we do well to exercise our bodies on a regular basis, it serves us well to exercise our minds. Meditation expands the mind and gives us insight and illumination as it builds wisdom and compassion. So these are all wonderful ways to color your day and come fully into the present moment with peace and joy and a lightness within your being that you can share with everyone you meet. So remember to add morning colors the day in your Enlivened Aging backpack, and go to EnlivenedAging, AGEING.com for more. Many blessings.
Let them show, you know, and we'll do the same for next week's show. We'll show you true colors, another deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. The third part of this terrific conversation that I had the good faith and good fortune to do with best-selling author and wise man Thomas More on A Religion of Your Own.
We've been promising you news about Age Nation's terrific lineup of programs in the coming months. Go to www.navigatingyourfutureconferences.com. You'll get great information about a wonderful series of events we're doing at Mile High Church in Denver and the Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle. if you go to www.elder-core.com, you'll find out some great information on a worldwide global summit and an exciting new learning and service projects. Sadina and I will be in Tucson March 14, 15 at the Festival of Books, and in San Diego at the Integrated Health Conference in March 2022. And remember, the greatest gift you give yourself and those you love is learning to love with wisdom. And now here's some wisdom from Alan with another terrific Rudy rap.
Okay, this is called Take Your Time, and I'm just going to preface it with a little bit about Elizabeth Rose, my, you know, Transitions Radio magazine co-host and partner, whose mom died in the last number of weeks. And just so you understand the essence of this, it's about her and the last words she whispered to her daughter, which are very significant. So that was Take Your Time. The rap music bed is Second Culture, Euphoricum Integer. Take your time. Take your time, take your time, Kitty whispered as she was dying, a mantra for not pushing the river and over-trying. Her daughter by her side, in transition, words so wise, addressing that place inside of core presence from whence we derive, the stillness from where to decide. What if? What's next for me in this grand cosmic ride? As spirit, body, and soul to drive our beingness that just a thought can hide under the surface of an active mind, an often conditioned mental bind that covers over the heart, making it more difficult to find. It's all about letting our love unwind in the face of fear so blind and unkind. Kitty's wise mantra in her knowing last breaths, saying in effect, dear daughter, take a rest, take your time, take your time. For our culture in general does not take enough time to silence the mind, to see excessive doing as a bind, keeping us from wisdom at the source, to direct our life course, whether marriage or divorce, to the myriad of choices of a thousand voices all competing for our attention. Do this, buy that, external remedies for the symptomatic extremities that arise as a wound like craters on the moon from causes hidden from our view. If only we all knew what was truly true, understand real love in this grand cosmic zoo, the perfection of natural law, divine intelligence without a flaw, heart-centering, unified mentoring from the all that is source. That is me, that is we, that is you, that is the waves of the ocean in this grand cosmic sea, the natural law of L-O-V-E, love, the law of vibrational energy. Not without uniqueness or diversity, but allowing divine love as a healing remedy. So Kitty's mantra, all wise tantra, take your time, quiet your monkey mind, end the mind bind. Let true love unwind. Let it uncoil up your spine. Power in the silence of no mind for the divine to at last find itself once again. Mutual recognition in a friend to a friend, even stranger to a stranger, eye to eye. When will we recognize we are that other guy? We are that other gal. Our perceived enemy is underneath our pal. It's all about false identifications, thinking ego needs all of the attention. If we only knew the separation and wrenching that our glorified personas were entrenching in our belief systems, that we are better than somebody or worse than somebody, causing all sorts of pain and suffering. So take your time to go in and find who you are before ego, before superstar, before being number one. Take your time and discover the divine game of fun for love to be won over any other pursuit. Take time. Take off that old suit. Get real. Only an actor on the stage, but under the garments, a very loving sage.
best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.